Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, Jim Hotep, greetings and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omiyika 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and the advocate, the one you certainly want. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being a part of this segment. We're on our 10th segment today, ladies and gentlemen. Give yourself a pat on the back if you've gone all the way with Omi. And to those newcomers, we like to say welcome. Habari Ghani, what's up? Ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat today. We are going through talking about the natural intuitions. How do we develop our natural intuition? And how do we get information? And how do we have ability to know things? If you're clairvoyant, then maybe it's easier for you. But we all have the ability to see into the lives of others, and we have been seers in this room, as well as communing with ancestors. And I'm sure your third eye is more open now than it ever has been. I'm sure your sixth sense is working overtime. And I'm sure Omi is intriguing you to think a little harder and to use your pineal gland in your brain to see that you know these things. You see, once you find out that you were asleep and you can wake yourself up and know that these things are only an illusion, you realize that you have been a seer all the long. And ladies and gentlemen, there's been so much stuff hidden. This is a time when we open up the airways so that we can clarify, closing the gap of disparity, of ignorance, and illiteracy. The books that we present to you are to help you build your library and to help you build your sense of consciousness. We are trying to make for a conscious society, and the conscious society that we are trying to make for is a society that will be literate in all aspects of African-centristic rituals, customs, and traditions. You notice yesterday I kind of opened up a door there, and I talked to you a little bit about stolen legacies. I spoke to you a little bit about Aristotle, Thales. I talked about the Pythagorean theory. It probably intrigued your emotion to want to know more. What is it that Omi knows about these people, and who were they, and were they our scientists and our Greek philosophers, and did they give us Greek reasoning? I open it up for a reason to let you know that what we are working on or have been working on is entering into the Egyptian mystery system. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. What I've been exposing you to is some of the hidden secrets, and today's session is even greater. You talked about how do you do divination and how do you find readings and how do you know which ones are right. Today's segment is on the mediumship. And how the mediumist does his work. Do we have a mediumist in our being, in our office, in our presence? Yes, we do. And there have been books printed all over the world in every continent. I found a book that is so rightfully deserving of all of your attention, ladies and gentlemen, because you too can purchase a book that will help you understand what the ancients used to do their medium test work. We do have a medium test in the audience today who is going to bring us a message, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss this. And our topic today, as you join us in Omi's Corner, we are going to change our book because we found a better book to give you. And we are talking about the truth about mediumship. How does one become a mediumship? And how do you know that a mediumship is giving you the proper readings? And where can you find the art of divination? Our book feature today, ladies and gentlemen, is The Art of Divination, a practice from around the world. And this book in and of itself is going to give you so much information, along with our guests, the 15 traditions of around the world. Since the dawn of time, men and women all over the world have tried to practice and open up the veil that guards what the future holds. Messengers, such people as shamans, magicians, priests, and also mediums, soothsayers, they weave the connection between the gods and human beings, as well as between the forces of the universe and their influence on their lives. Our actions and consequences are divinities. Each of the methods of divinities and divination possessed in this book have been adapted to the modification so that this world and this time can easily make use of their everyday life. The answers to the questions you have are waiting for you, and you only need to look for them in Omi's Corner today. Find that book, get that book by Dieter Blunt, D-I-D-I-E-R, capital B-L-A-U is the last name. The Art of Divination, practiced from around the world, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we're going to break down some of the different divinations, but we're going to hear from our guest speaker today, who is a mediumist. He's a shaman, has background knowledge in doing readings, energy healings, and can read without a medium. A mediumist will have to normally pick up some form of mediumist, whether it be tarot cards, whether it be numerology, whether it be energy. You decide which one he's best at, but he has skill in all areas. I'd like to say thank you, and thank you for coming along for the ride right now, and you know we need to go through some house cleaning and get ready for the purification so we can go right into our talking cure, ladies and gentlemen. It is the power of faith that gives us ability to do and have our being and our moving in the spirit.
From the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in a heart when it seems that our lives are falling?
As I wash my hands, I have to make sure that my face is covered with water. May I have a towel, please? Thank you. And we pour the water to the floor. As we pour the water to the floor, I pour the water to the east. I pour the water to the east. I pour the water to the west. I pour the water to the south. I pour the water to the north. In all four cardinal directions, purifying the ground that we stand on. Will you please purify the ground, please, Father? And we pour a little bit of libations to the floor. You've noticed that some young men have been pouring libation as well, and they pour alcohol for those that are not here. That is a part of the ritual that normally needs to proceed. Is purification complete, Bible?
Purification is complete.
Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. You are now standing on holy ground. If you're not already standing to your feet, you might want to stand up now and take out that list of your ancestors. Now we're about to proceed and call on the ancestors. We ring the bell, ladies and gentlemen, to wake our ancestors, to call them in the event that they are not consciously available to us. And this will tell them that we are caring for them. And I'm sure you Christians have heard the word caring. Caring is like a ancestors. I like to call on the name of the ancestors at this very moment. And as we call on the name of those ancestors, ladies and gentlemen, the names of those ancestors you want to take out, your personal ones. I like to call on the name of Benjamin Banneker. And I say, Ashe, Ashe. Booker T. Washington, Ashe. I like to call on the name of Frederick Douglass, Ashe. I like to call on the name of George Washington Carver, Ashe. Chancellor Williams, Ashe. Chick-S.D. Diop, Ashe. I like to call on the name of John Henry Clark, Ashe. I like to call on the name of Doc Ben, Ashe. Dr. Carruthers, Ashe. His cousin, Asa Hillary, Ashe. I like to call on the name of Langston Hughes, Ashe. Leontine Price, Ashe. Madam C.J. Walker, Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ashe. Malcolm X, Ashe. I like to call on Scott Joplin, Ashe. Martin Luther King, Ashe. Coretta Scott King, Ashe. I like to call on Nat Turner, Ashe. I like to call the name of Thurgood Marshall, Ashe. W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. Zora Neale Hurston, Ashe. And Nina Simone, Ashe. Now it's time for you to call in your personal ancestors, ladies and gentlemen. Get those names out. I like to call on my grandfather, Shane Lilly, Ashe. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I like to call on Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Essie Pope, Ashe. I like to call on the name of Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Tom Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. And Michael Harvey, Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. As we've called on those ancestors, now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. You want to tap into the energies of the mystery system, the Egyptian mystery system, is what I want you to stop and meditate on as we take a moment of quietness and meditate on the Egyptian Egyptian mystery system and what it was like to enter into the Egyptian mystery system. What did we have to do in order to be admitted into this system? What were the jobs of the candidates paid in? And why are we seeking the spirit to understand mediumship, to understand the divination? How will it help us in the day's end time? Meditate with me. Take a deep breath, ladies and gentlemen. Carry your own self into a deep trance. Remember, we are now at the point where we can carry ourselves into a trance. Wherever we might be, closing our eyes, allowing ourselves to go into the underworld, to a deep, deep subconscious mind. Pause with me for meditation. Do this on a day-to-day basis, ladies and gentlemen, taking yourself away from this world and this atmosphere so that you're unconsciousness. Remember, the things that you see now are not real. In the unconscious world, those are the real things in the subconscious mind, hidden deep away. In the mind that you're in now, this is an illusion. This is only but a vision of illusion. You're not really here. This is deja vu. What you see in the natural mind here cannot compare to the subconscious mind. Remember to meditate as you take yourself into a trance and allow your ancestors to permeate your mind and allow your deity on your head, Ori, to give you instructions for your life. I'd like to thank you for that moment that you've given us and the time you spent with your ancestors. May it go well with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't really know if you remember when I said prayer is a behavior modification. It is written so that you can get change in your life. Prayer is a behavior modification, and so is meditating. I'd like to read you a little something about the Greek philosophy, and then we're going to go right into listening to our keynote speaker for this evening. Excuse me. Greek philosophy was the offspring of the Egyptian mystery system. The Egyptian theory of salvation became the purpose of Greek philosophers. The earliest theory of salvation, and I'm reading from The Stolen Legacy, The Greek Philosophy Stolen Legacy, by George C.M. James, ladies and gentlemen. We've changed our book from Omi's Corner. The earliest theory of salvation is the Egyptian theory. The Egyptian mystery system had as his most important objective the deification of man, and taught that the soul of man, if liberated and developed from his bodily fetters, could enable him to become godlike and see the gods in this life and attain the beastful vision and whole communion with the immortal. Ancient mystery system. Now, let me go on. Since the mystery system offers the salvation of the soul, it has also placed great emphasis upon the immortality. The Egyptian mystery system, like the modern university, was centered of the organization, culture, and candidates entered into the leading source of ancient culture. According to the Egyptian mystery system, had three grades of students, and I'd like to name them for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be very important to you that you note these. Number one, the mortal, i.e. probationary student, who were being instructed, but who had not yet experienced the inner vision. Number two, the intelligence, i.e., those who had attained the inner vision and had received mind or nuns. Number three, the creator or son of light, who had become identified with or united with the light, the i.e., true spiritual consciousness. W. Marsh Adams, in the book of The Master, he describes those grades as equivalent to or from the imitation, illumination, and perfection. For years, they underwent disciplinary intellectual exercise and bodily antisms with intervals of tests and ordeals to determine their fitness to proceed to the more precious, solemn, and awful process of actual initiation. These were the three students who were being initiated, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're wondering what stage you're at, you could possibly say that you're at the probationary stage. If you have traveled up the mystery tree of life and have been able to advance further on and you're at the second and third stage, and congratulations, but we are initiates here, and we did take a class through that are EWALs, and some of you new people would consider yourself as initiates. Now, this is the ancient Egyptian mystery system, and as we're going to bring in our speaker for this evening, I want to also direct you back to the book, The Art of Divination, and I will give you some insight about this book, so you want to go out and get this book. For example, it's a consulting oracles. And when you are doing the medium test, you consult oracles. And the oracles can go from various different continents to continent. And the one that I like to tell you about first is the Celtic Art of Divination. And this is a quick direction as to how you would use it. However, we will be able to go more into it later. Put your finger on a tree at random. Choose a number between 10 and 30 and count this number of squares clockwise or counterclockwise as you wish. The second step, the third step, the tree you finish on is the oracle. Look up the association of symbols in the following page and read the guidance. I'm going to put my finger on one of these trees. Number 16 reads, and I'll just read it for you. Just give me an idea how you would use this book. The fern tree is seen as an excellent omen. In the Soka tradition, a branch of place under the bed of a newborn baby. The fern represents good health, energy, and strength because it remains green in all the years round. The situation in which you find yourself demands mental strength and objectivity, but above all is required clarity. Now you can raise to a level where you will gain a clear view of the problem to be solved. Now the guidance, it says, weakness turns into strength and your situation improves, but be careful, for you must exercise a degree of control over others. Are you really capable of doing so? Is this really what you want? The dangers contained in this message lies in exercising power without objectivity. That's just a sample, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be able to talk more about this book throughout the segment of dealing with our initiation and the mystery system of the Egyptian mystery system. Now I'd like to bring on our guest speaker to speak to you as a mediumist, and I'm going to have Terrell Garth introduce the gentleman.
Yes, I'd like to introduce our guest speaker, Mr. Jamel Harvey. He's a mediumist. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrell. I'd like to bring on Jamel Harvey, and his topic for today is, what is a mediumist? What does a mediumist do? And what are the tools of a mediumist? The truth about mediumists, ladies and gentlemen, here you have it, Jamel Harvey.
Reason, thank you for having me. We're going to briefly speak about what most people call psychic intuition or being psychic. A medium is no more than that. When you look at the word, you mean a medium. That means to stand in the middle of the medium. Right now we're talking about energy, and in energy you're dealing with the ability to use psychometry, clairvoyancy, what some will call ESP, intuition. In psychometry, that's the ability to touch an object and know who has been on that spot or who has touched that object. Telepathy, that is the ability to read thoughts or deal with energy and information sent through the airwaves, okay? Clairaudiency is the ability to hear in this dimension and in other dimensions, and hear from a perspective of from distance hearing. Like you can hear someone call you if you're here and they're in Africa. We all have a unique set of God-given abilities that some will call our spiritual abilities, our ability to tap into the higher mind to be able to see. Clear vision, clairvoyancy, to have clear vision, meaning that you have the ability to see in this dimension and in other dimensions, and you have the ability to see not only today, but tomorrow and the next day. So a medium is one who stands in the middle of the what you would call conscious world and the superconscious world, the world that we don't see that exists right at the end of our fingertips, okay? We're talking about different dimensions, and dimensions are no more than spaces of energy that vibrate. A medium uses certain tools, all right? They have, and all of this springs out of ancient Egypt, okay? It goes way back to the very first dynasty, when the very first pyramid was put up, when the very first beings that came to the planet to establish the Egyptian kingdoms, right? They brought this gift that has been with us since the time of creation, since the time of what one would call the Big Bang Theory, when all existence came into being. So we have these talents, because these talents are no more than energy vibrations, and the energy vibrations have been such that men and women throughout time have used certain tools to manipulate the energy. For instance, there's water, You can see with clear vision, clear audience with water, with stones, with certain configurations and the way stones move. So you can read through stones. You can read through tea leaves. There's methodology as to how you do this, but a medium is one that can tap in to the different dimensions of frequency energy on this side of existence and on the other side of existence, that which we do not see, that they call the other world or the hereafter, which is really another energy frequency. It's much like your TV set or your radio. You tune in and you can turn it off and turn it on. You can tune to different stations or you can tune to different frequencies and different channels. We have that ability with our minds as well. So you have a lot of what they call known psychics out that usually make predictions out of a meditative state. You have those that, like Nostradamus, for instance, Michel de Nostradamus, right, the great French seer. Well, he used the ephemeral chart in astrology combined with what you would call a crystal ball. Okay, the crystal ball, no, crystal. Crystal emits an energy. So anyone can get a crystal ball and look at the crystal ball, amplify it, tune it to yourself, and you can look into it long enough where you begin to see images of the past or the future. Well, Nostradamus, at his time when he did this, there was no radio or TV. There was nothing to interfere the frequencies. He had pure quiet. There were no electronic frequencies to jam the airwaves, so he had nothing but clear vision and clear hearing. In today's world, it's interrupted with microwaves. It's interrupted with FM waves, AM waves, megahertz. You have all types of channels, shortwave, radio bands. The airwaves are filled, so it's very difficult in this modern society to get to the level that Michel de Nostradamus was at the time if he used his mediumistic skills. Now, if you go to Tibet, to the high mountains, where the frequencies are clear, where you don't have a jam channel, there are certain things that you could do that would defy the human mind. Okay? So, where are we here? We're simply saying that we have the ability to tap into the tomorrow, the today, the yesterday. We have the ability to use certain tools, well, not tools, but certain material to be used to tap into energy frequencies to tell what is going to happen, what is going on, or what will not happen, right? We have that ability. People that are adept, meaning skilled at being able to use one tool, tarot cards. Many people go with the tarot cards because it's easy for them to adapt to that because of the images and their energies and the tarot energy sort of synchronize themselves, so they become very good tarot readers. There are people that can look at stones, and so they have a relationship with the stone, and they can tap into the energy of stones and become a good stone reader for certain people. Those are your medium, people that can tap into certain material to bring to the person that needs help answers to their question. So being a medium, and sometimes it's difficult to know when we are medium because some of us have that innate feeling of, you know, I knew that was going to happen. You're being a medium by basically tapping into the energy frequencies around you and the frequencies of a person that you may encounter, that you may have this feeling with, this feeling of connection. And this feeling of connection gives you the ability to see into their world. And we all do this because sometimes you do it. Parents do it to their children. They can see what's going to happen to their children, either in a rage of anger because the child has really made them angry, or in a setting of love and caring. You tap into your children just as a husband will tap into his wife or a wife will tap into her husband. And the energy exchange is something that you will be able to do with time. And in time, it becomes a beautiful experience and people get help from it. Some people are frustrated because of what they hear. And it is a beautiful walk in life when one can tap into the energies around you. You can use the certain materials that are there for you to use. That's like, for instance, your nature may be of a watery nature, and you may be drawn to water. You may be able to look into a pool of water, and in your mind you think you're just daydreaming, but you see events unfolding, and you never give it any thought. Or you may be able to look into a mirror, and as you look into the mirror, you see events unfolding, but you never tune into it because you think it's just you daydreaming. Or you may be able to touch someone, and as you touch that person, you begin to see visions of things that have happened or will happen, and you never know because we are not trained, taught, motivated to look at that part of our existence, because we live in a society that tells you that everything on the planet Earth is all there is in reality and in existence, when those who are conscious know different. Okay, we live in a society where it is taught to our children that the sunrise and the sunset, when in reality there is no such thing as sunrise or sunset. The Earth rotates into the sun and away from the sun. But we teach our children about this illusion, this optical illusion called sunrise and sunset. Now, for those that are in it for the first time, you're probably amazed at the fact that, wow, that is the truth. Yeah, it's these truths that lead you into your spiritual, mediumistic walk, okay, to help the individual gather up your powers and your strengths. And when you're able to do that, and you do it with love, you do it with balance, you do it with kindness, now you can be a help to a world that is in need of love and kindness and balance, because the world is imbalanced, okay? It's so imbalanced that people turn to people who have the ability to see tomorrow. People turn to people that have the ability, okay, that can take a material and use and then manipulate that material to give them, all right, information about helping their life. Now, that's the basic introduction, the motivational piece to it, and many will wonder, well, how can I tap into my abilities to maybe read tarot cards or to maybe read stones or to maybe, you know, use water or use crystals, you know? We all wonder, where is my power? Or we have this dormant feeling of who and what you were in a past life, and you want to go get that confirmed. Or you may have someone that may transition, and you miss them because in your heart you miss them so much that you can hear them talking to you. So you need confirmation about so many things that are beyond this life, that people who have tapped into the middle, medium, the middle, one foot into this reality, another foot into the reality of the superconsciousness. All right? It's a beautiful walk. We all have the power because we all were born with divinity in us. It's up to us to accept that divinity. And when we accept that divinity, then we can begin to use our skills and powers. And being a medium is just one of them. Just one of them. And in that mediumistic walk, there are a lot of different areas for a person to design their powers and how they would like to help society. Okay? So without just going on and on, we can be specific or we can talk in general. I'd rather talk in general about it because once you get into one specific area, it gets into a lesson on how for instance, stones, where the ancient stones come from. In the Judeo-Christian setting, the first recollection or first knowledge of stones would be coming basically from ancient Kemet or ancient Egypt. But we get our first look at the stones in the Urim and Thurim in the book of, I believe it's Leviticus, where the priests, the Levitical priests, were involved with Urim and Thurim. But before that, you had in the Celtic law, right, the the reading of the stones, right? And that's done in the Celtic lore. That's done in Wicca, okay, the stones. But the stones go back to ancient Babylon, ancient Mesopotamia. It goes way back to ancient Egypt, okay? It goes way back to the time of the Anunnaki, agreeable and disagreeable, and let's be very specific about that. So there are a lot of different mediumistic material that has a link to an ancient time. And in those ancient times, when you study them, you know that people lived in those ancient times, and they would refer to the oracle. So the way society governs itself today and the medium that is used for society to be governed today would be your newspaper, the internet, or your religious facilities, okay? That would be your mediumistic, what word do I want to use? The mediumistic organizations that control, for instance, the media. The media tells people, you know, what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. But a medium, right, who is using certain divination can tap into a different source of information for you, all right? So with that said, we're going to turn it back to Omi Inka, and we can have a question-and-answer session.
Thank you so much, Jamel, the mediumist. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamel is being rather humble, but he's also a shaman. He's set up under the feet of outstanding astrologists who have astronomers, rather, and also shamans who have background knowledge and gifts. And Jamel has been doing readings for many, many years. He has done them over the phone without even being in the presence of the individual. And I don't know if that's called tapping into the energy or not. But we're going to ask Jamel some questions. And if you're out there, ladies and gentlemen, and have questions about readings, now is the time, if you would like to have some information about how you can get a reading from Jamel and how you can schedule to have readings with him. Now is the time to come in the room, and you can request him and get his phone number. And I wonder if Jamel wants to give his phone number out in the listening audience for anybody that is doing interested in reading. So I'm going to ask him that. Jamel, would you like to give your number out to those people who might be looking for a reading? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out if he wants to give out the email, where you can contact him through email at the end of it. Jamel Harvey, and I think it's H-A-R-V-Y. That's Jamel. J-A-L. I'm going to let him give that out to make sure he gets it out correctly. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
The email address is Jamel Harvey, J-A-M-I-L-H-A-R-V-E-Y, at yahoo.com. Again, jamilharvey@yahoo.com.
Thank you very much, Jamel. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to contact him for a reading, he will make himself available to you. I'd like to go through the questions and answers now. He said quite a bit about the various different types of readings. But what I would like to know, Jamel, is I've known when you've done the astrological signs, but we talked a little bit about numerology. What can you tell us about numerology? And out of all of the various different mediumships, which one would be a more conclusive reading? And can people learn to do this, or does it take long, long time of practicing?
Numerology and psychometry would be, I would think that numerology would be the more exact, because you're dealing with numbers, and numbers have a vibration. And for instance, your time of birth, when you do the numerology on your time of birth, you can basically look at a cycle that particular person that came into the world at a certain time under a certain number. That's a vibration that stays with you through the rest of your life. Psychometry is basically one of the, you know, touch and vibration. If you are in a spot, then your energies can be traced and your energies can be read. That's a very, very direct science. It has no spookism in it at all. It's a direct science that is exact, because your energy is your energy. Like your number is your number. So that's different than maybe doing a tarot reading, where you have to pick up energy about things that will come or things that will not come, things that can be altered because of willpower or because of destiny. Numbers, you have certain destiny in numbers, yes, but you're dealing with a number frequency. So if you understand that, then we can move forward.
Very good answer, Jamel, very good. I'd like to know, when a person has their astrological chart read, if they're looking for a mate or a significant other, is it a good idea to tell them the various different water signs or fire signs that work well together with their makeup, or is it possible to be compatible with anyone, because you may have your moon on one horizon and then you may have your sun in another, so you may find out that you're more than just one sign. Can a person be born on a cusp, and can they also be more than one sign in their sun rising and moon rising?
Well, yeah, you have to have a thorough ephemeral chart, first of all. You can't really do anything without knowing the location of the planet, so you have to get an ephemeris chart. And with that, then you can begin your divination with the ephemeral chart. And that's no more than the position of the planets at a certain time of the day, certain week, certain month, certain year. And they should have the new ephemeral charts out from 2000 up until maybe 2050 or 2090. Those are charts that are put together by astronomers that will forecast the position of planets based on numbers, using some numerology, if you will, to determine where the planets are. If you're going to do matchmaking, it is best to know time of birth so that you can do an astrological comparison of the person that you're thinking about being with, as opposed to who you are in your astrology position. It's all about position. The commercial astrology that deals with, oh, I'm a Cancer, oh, I'm a Virgo, you know, that kind of stuff is for for the novice and people that don't really know. There's an industry for those that don't know. Big Pardon?
Can you be two signs, like your moon rising is one sign and your sun rising is another sign? Can you be two signs?
Well, yeah, you're that and more. You do have your sun sign, which is your time of, you know, your birth, and your moon is your personality. But you also have your rising sign that makes three, okay? And then you have your nature, or your natural time of who you are. Because now you have to go back to conception in the womb, all right? If you dealt with the regular Western astrology that tells you that you came into existence 9 months ago, or you were birthed after 9 months, that's kind of a little off, because if you dealt with the truth of procreation.
Thank you so very much. We have a listener out there. I want to see if this listener has a question. Hello, caller.
Alafia.
Caller, you're in the air.
Alafia, good evening. Good evening.
Okay. Who am I speaking to? Good evening.
This is Iridia in New York City.
And hi, Iridia. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fabulous, thank you. I'm snuggling up in my nice warm bed because it's nice and cold in New York, and I'm listening to this fabulous guest talk about astrology and things of this nature, and it's wonderful.
Well, that's great. We're going to put him on the air with you. You have a question for him? I'm going to put him in the air with you. You're in the air.
I don't really have a question, because what he's saying is on point. I've sort of delved into my chart and broken it apart myself, even though I'm not an astrologer. But everything that he's saying is on point, and I'm looking at myself and how that applies. And I just heard you guys talk about the multiple personality, the attributes of one's personality in reference to your chart. And
when is your birthday?
It's December 20th.
December 20th? What year?
1972. I'm a Sag, Aquarius rising, and my moon is in Cancer, so you can only imagine the craziness there.
Well, more importantly, you have to make sure that your health stays intact and watch the things that you eat. You got a lot of acid buildup, so you want to alkaline yourself. You're conscious and you know that, but still, you're fighting a battle with what you know to do and that which you are having a battle. You're having a battle with certain emotional things that pertains to food and diet. So, you know, you can win that particular battle, all right? But just watch how you eat, okay? This is something personal for you. You know, don't mix food and water together, all right? So we don't have much time, but I just want to lay that one on you, all right? And that's from vibrations of your voice. In other words, eat and then drink. Don't eat and drink at the same time, okay?
Well, you are so on point when you say that. I never do that because it bothers my stomach, and I don't drink
cold
water.
Okay.
We're going to, we did give out Jamel's email. You can get a personal time with him, and we can also open up the chat room if you want to go into more detail about meeting, because we are going to try to, get some more questions answered. Like in reference to the shaman, what does a shaman do, and how can you tell a shaman from a mediumist, and how can you tell a soothsayer from somebody who is a priest? And we sometimes are not literate enough to know who we've called upon to do the work for us, but when we go into a hypnotist, we know exactly what it is, but it's hard to find out about those other people. So do you have any questions about who to go to or how to identify these people with their credentials? Do you have any questions in that respect?
No, because I'm an Ea, so, you know, I'm a Yoruba priestess. So I am pretty good at identifying who is who and who is not who, and things of this nature. So, no, I'm good.
Okay. Now I was going to ask you, which one of the deities were you initiated up under, and who initiated you?
I am a child of Yemaya, and my mother, the one who initiated me, is Adekun, who is the child of Obatala from the Bronx. And I'm not going to say who my Ajibona Khan is, who is in Brooklyn, because that's too personal to get on the air. But yes, uh-huh. I've been in the religion for 15 years. And as a matter of fact, I just turned 7 this year. But I've been a spiritualist my whole life. I had gifts that were handed down to me by my mother, by my grandmother, by all the women in my mom's line. Yeah, so.
Well, I do receive your spirit, sister. I really do. I know I've spoken with you before. I come out of the set of Chief Metahochi out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And initially, he is from the Indiana area. And it was funny because I was living in Wisconsin, but he actually sought me out because I was from his hometown. And he sent someone for me. To minister to me about these ancestors that were following me, and little to my knowledge that he saw the ancestors and told me I was an ancestral child and that I was to be a Yalade. I wasn't familiar with the faith or the culture at that time, and that was almost about 20 years ago. And I was a minister in the Christian faith at that time, ministering all over in music and presenting the gospel and doing women workshops and seminars. However, I was still a little displeased about Christianity because there was so much that was not covered and presented to me properly and questioned. Like, I don't know if you heard the show last night. We did a show on the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to get Jamel's opinion about the Holy Ghost, because I gave it from a perspective that I knew. All my life we talked about this ghost, but no one ever defined who it was. So I came up with the conclusion that the Holy Ghost had to be the representation of the deities that we so badly as priests always try to invoke the spirit of, and we try to become possessed. And most people would think that to be strange, but it is our mission as a priest to become possessed in order to leave the initiate stage and go into the priesthood to become possessed. And we know what that possession is because we know the identities of the deities and we can identify them, whereas in the church they have not a clue of what these divinities are or characteristics, and they are engaging with spirits and having a clue of where the origin of them come from. Can you relate to that or comment on that?
Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, let me say I don't put myself just because I have Iya in front of my name of priestess. I do not define myself through just the Yoruba or Lukumi, because I have tons of Eguns who come from many different affiliations, Christianity, Islam. I have some Hindu things going on in my Egun plethora, and I have tons and tons and tons of Native Americans. And also in another life, I was a priest in Kemet. So my spiritual, I am in this organic being, a Yoruba priestess, but I don't define myself by that one premise, because to me that's ridiculous. There are many tools that have been implanted on the planet.
And you're so right. You are so right, because they cross over. I also tell people that I saw myself in another life as being an Egyptian priestess, and I had catered more towards the Kemetic teaching than I did the Yoruba, so I use both.
But they're all the same, sis. And when you talk about Christianity, this is why our ancestors, through slavery, used the deity, a.k.a. Christ and the saints, because of the affiliation and similarity of their archetype. In essence, when people are bringing down the Holy Ghost or things of this nature, one, you could be bringing down Obatala. Obatala is Jesus Christ. You could be bringing down Egun, because as we all well know, historically, a lot of our ancestors used revolutionary means through Christianity, and there's a very deep embedded spiritual premise to the institution of Christianity. Now, having said that, it is not the same as the old school, old time religion in which one practiced back in my grandmother's day. So the version of Christianity that I am referring to in 2010 is very different than the old school, old time, wade in the water religion that I'm talking about, that my grandmother and my great grandmother and my grandmother before that practiced. It's very, very much different. It was very much
spiritual. You're so right. You're so right, sis. Because it was a revolutionary type of Marcus Garvey type of teaching, and you're so very right. However, because we find our people stuck in that mode and have not matriculated, we have to meet them where they are. At times you will hear on this airway preaching going on, and in the name of Jesus, because I know that's where the people are at. I don't make such a big fuss of it because I'm doing enough African teaching to let them know that I'm trying to engage them to make the transition. But for the elderly, sometimes it's a little difficult because that's all they know in the name of,
you know, so I try to help them. You do understand that. That's an Egun thing for you. And there is no issue with that. We are all one people, regardless of what our man-made ideologies is, because spirituality, the fact of the matter is infinite in nature and goes beyond ideology and what you think you are.
And so you can never be one thing. You're many entities, you know.
Indeed.
And
so
we
when
all
you get on
to have
and
a
say
foundation.
You preach, yeah, so when you say you preach, you have many ancestors standing behind you. Huh. Who were in the Christian pantheon, who were midwives, medicine women in the Christian way and were preachers. So therefore, when you step up to the mic, as well as I and many others that I know, your ancestors move forward. They may not move forward into your actually organic being.
And I know what you're saying when you say that. And we don't have control at that particular point because we're asking to tap into their energy so they consume our body. And you might see Yamanja step up and speak, the nurturing spirit, and then all of a sudden Obatala is coming with this wisdom. So these entities I recognize. And the other day I told the people that I allow myself to be invoked in the spirit, and I allowed the spirit to take over me. So what I said, I was in a subconscious mind, and at the end, I kind of came out of it, and I said, well, you know, I have to listen to that tape to find out what I said. And periodically, I do that frequently. That's how I write my poetry, spoken word. It's while I'm in a deep trance, and I let the subconscious lead me and open up the creative right side of my brain, which I can't tap into in the natural. So once it's open, I allow it to flow. And that's why when I said in the Christian churches, we have no business letting people just have the way in the church, because you're letting all kinds of spirits in. You must teach the people about the spirit. You must test the spirit, try the spirit. But you also have to explain to them the origin and where it came from. It was derivative out of Africa. And they have to understand that these Africans are carrying for the spirit. They're invoking it, they're calling it, and they're asking it to come and speak. And when you see in the regular Christian churches now, with everything being just out of order, that is really the nature of our community, and that spirit is coming forth. And if you really, if the preachers really wanted to have a handle of this, they would teach their congregation about the spirit so that they know exactly which one to carry for and call on, and that way they have control of it, because unruly spirits are all over the Christian church, and they tear up the place. And then when people try to go home, they won't release them. They're there all night beating them down. So, you know, I told the congregation yesterday that we don't speak of ghosts. We talk about haints, and haints were something that we allowed to be in our presence because we thought that it was mother clock coming back, it was father coming back, and we accepted them. We set table and place for them, and we knew that this was something that we engaged in, but we didn't accept that ghost because Master always told us that if we didn't behave, the ghost was going to come and get us, the boogeyman. So we were like little children still believing those things. And if Christians don't come out of that, we're never going to know what the spirits can do for us.
Indeed, but they're not, you know, to me, language is very powerful, and they're not ghosts, they're beings. They're just at a different level of knowledge and frequency, and they've lost this organic being. And for me, per se, you know, when I am on the air, I don't, I have control over my possession qualities, because quite frankly, my mother in the road of Yamaya, in which I possess, does not come down smoothly. And my voice is always her conduit, but my frame, I do have free will of choice as to whether I want to pull her into my frame. And let me tell you, that's not very often, because she causes havoc. She's the road of Yemaya Okuti, who's Ogun's wife, and she is really a warrior woman. So Yemaya will never be heard on the airways like fully, because, you know, people, I'm a realist, and I don't glamorize being a priestess and what we do very lightly. It can be very taxing on the body. You are literally bringing in an energy into your frame. And, you know, as one gets more crafty, you learn what, where the line is drawn, because then if that was the case, Yemaya would be in my house every day. But Egun is a little different, you know, in dealing with my frame. Egun will come and go on the air, and like you, I don't remember what I said, but when it comes to Yemaya, that's a little bit, that's a little different. That's a very different energy.
Uh-huh.
So Yemaya will speak
to me. Well, you know,
me,
I was going to ask you, some of the priestesses that I've ran into, there is really a mystery system going on among us, where some of them are a little apprehensive to talk about how they got their training or who's on their motherhead and who's on the fatherhead and who initiated them. And we have a lot of people that were so anxious to get initiated that they would go out and somewhat summon somebody to take them over and have no lifestyle and never have possession. And so, you know, I've ran into people like that, and I said, well, you know, I would tell them I was self-initiated because my teacher was making this transition. And as he was making this transition, he was sick. He made sure that I had my leg ABs before I left the country, and he sent me a letter saying, you're self-initiated now, because I came back and said, well, when will I get the actual initiation? He said, you've had it by virtue of you going across the water. And I thought that was so strange, and after that, I was forevermore trying to get initiated. And then I met another priest that said, you're already self-initiated. And what can you tell me about self-initiation, and does a priest have the ability to lay this on your head and hand you your beads and say you've been self-initiated?
Well, you can be self-initiated, but there's a lot metaphysically that goes on when one actually goes through the ceremony and gets the ache on your head. You are literally, they are literally cutting into your frame the cosmic signatures of the ancients and the ancestors. It is not the same. One can do self-initiation.
Well, you know, he told me it wasn't the same, but what he did was he took me to initiation, and I helped assist in initiation. But he did make the announcement that there's some among us that are self-initiated who need not be initiated. Now, this was a high priest from Africa, mind you, Chief Metohochi Zanu. And I assisted in doing the head washing and the initiation as if I was a priest. And I just couldn't. He said, well, you've had all the training. I can't. It's not more training I can give you. He said, and even when you went across the water, your initiation is more profound than anyone in this room because of the journey. And I did read about the self-initiated priests who went on journeys. So I said, okay, at that point. But I began to realize that theology school was a foundation, but it had nothing to do with all the things I learned in the spirit realm. And I finally just let it go because I realized I did know more than a lot of people who went through the initiation and went to Africa, and they came back, and I was startled. They had went through all this procedure and didn't know how to do the reading or divination. And I was like, well, who trained you? And they were still looking to get more training.
Well, I mean, you know, when you talk about the African diaspora, it's not just in Africa. You know, people like to glorify going to the continent. Yes, it began there, but the Orishas have been dispersed throughout the earth, and there are many places in which one can get that Ache, and it's not just the Dark Continent, and there are Odus and Ifa that talk about this. So,
absolutely.
You know, there is something to initiation, self-initiation, but you, I can guarantee through self-initiation, you will not be bringing down Orisha. You just won't. And the reason why is because of the simple fact, as I said, when one goes through the ceremony, there are things that you are receiving from your godparents that are from their bloodline. And I can't really get into that on the air, but it's a very different initiation than being self-initiated. You're getting self-initiated from your ancestors and from the ethers and things of this nature, but when one gets initiated from a godparent literally and goes to the ceremony, there are certain things that you go through and receive and deal with, which you are receiving the Ache of every single ancestor in that Ocha, that particular Ocha line, and all the way back to the founders, the original Yorubas who brought that particular sect to the United States. So not only do I have the Ache as a priestess from the people who crown me, I have the Ache of them and all of their bloodline and all of the bloodlines that go behind them all the way back to Kuga, because I am from the Lugumi line of Yoruba, which originates in Kuga from the Africans that were in, you know, that part of the world. So
now, let me ask you a question. I heard you mention Lugumi. The Lukumin and Santeria
are the same.
However, you know, I for some of the priests, the intermixed when they do the Kari Shell reading, and we had the training for the Leukamine and Santeria. So I was very proficient in the divination, and when I was sent for by Chief Medical Chief, he knew I had the ability to do the divination. That's one of the gifts that I had, and he showed me one time, and I could do the poetry and do the reading and do the priest for Yoruba isn't officially complete unless they know the, I think it's 2,400 Odus by memory. And so we were taught to memorize these. And most priests are still learning. They're still learning to memorize it because a real priest has to learn all of them and be able to recite them by memory. But for most of us, we have to pull out our book and reference back to the poetry in order to read the divinations to give the reading and the OB.
But that's okay, though. That's because you're
right.
Everyone,
I know. It's okay.
Yeah, every priest's gifts are different. And when I say Lukumi, it's historical, meaning that the slaves who left the Dark Continent came to Cuba or Brazil, contemplate, and they mixed with the surroundings of their environment, the cultural attributes, and it morphed, not into a different tradition, but mixed in with something else. So when I say Lukumi or Santeria, I am saying Yoruba, one and the same, because it all comes from the same place, but there are cultural differences. So everything is the
Absolutely.
Same. The throwing of the shells are the same. The same way that the opele would be thrown by an Ifa priest in Cuba would be the same as the way that a priest in Ifa Ile would throw the opele. You see what I'm saying? But there are cultural differences.
Oh, yes. I know that there are cultural differences because I saw them. And even in the Leukamine church, it's a little cultural differences. But if they can gain enough knowledge to throw opele and be able to do the E-Kings and be able to read the Kol HaNuts. But a lot of them have spent so much money and did not know how to do the main things, such as the divinations, and to be able to do OB and know exactly how to take the readings and decipher them. And that was a big main concern of mine, because priests had no knowledge of this, and they were sending you to other people to get the divination. I said, even I, in the 2 years that I trained, I learned how to do those things. But like you said, everybody's level of knowledge is so different. So I went ahead and I accepted the fact that self-initiated was good enough, because I had some other foundations that allowed me to be able to therapeutically work with a person wherever they were, spiritually, physically, mentally, and be able to use the gifts I had to help work with these people who might have been sick physically or mentally. But nevertheless, the gifts are without repentance, and truly, this has been such a secret society. I think maybe you and I have been the first ones to open it up on the airwaves, because you've always found these groups underground, and so secret that you couldn't get anybody to peep out a word of anything to tell you. And I was so fortunate, because it was literally a gift to me and openly in a classroom. So as I began to see people in my community, I would say, well, where are the groups? And it was like a omen. You don't speak of Ifa. You speak of Ifa, you don't discuss it. Ifa finds you. You're the one that's recruited. You don't go and find Ifa. So you got so many people that don't know the heritage. And I wanted to change that, sister. I wanted to change it because there's a lot of people that have a natural gift for the spiritual things, and they wanted to be a part, but they didn't know where to go to find it. And the reason why I tried to open up this airways is to not make it a mystery system, but make it available to our African people. And I'm so glad that you're on the other end of the spectrum, and I listen into your show, which is extremely good when you did the laws of attraction. It was excellent. And it sounds like the lady that was doing that show, was she Hispanic or Leukamine?
Well, I deal with all. I don't, like I said, I don't categorize myself, because to me, the tools in which I was given was not meant for that. My ancestors and the ancestors did not mean for us to be in one grouping. Lukumi, Yoruba, whatever, is for the world to know. And I deal with traditional people from Africa. I deal with Lukumi. I deal with contemplate, because it's all the same. We are all one.
And you know what? And I know that, and that's why I'm saying, for listening audience, I hope you're hearing this, because we've had so many serious fights in our community about who's the best and who has the original one. They all are interchangeable. Even the names, they're just slightly different, but you find the same structure. And if you look hard enough in the Christian faith, you'll find that we have rituals and we have deities too. We just don't name them. And when we begin to define the lesser gods, the deities, then we have people saying that you're into a polytheistic type of Christian faith. And we're not into a polytheistic. We're into a monotheistic. And we've always believed in the one God, and that is the hardest thing to get people to see, the monotheistic God, and the fact that we are not trying to get people to worship all of these different gods. And this whole thing, in the end, we only are trying to get you to press Godhead forward that's in you. And the Godhead that's in you is only Ori, and he is the one that is prompting you to become more godlike. And the ultimate goal is that we hope we press God forward and he shows up in you. But we've got so many people that think that we are talking about converting them to a god, and they're saying, well, how could I be God? And what is the purpose of you telling people about lesser gods? Are there many gods? If God told you he was a jealous God, then you would automatically know that there has to be more than one God. And I think that's the thing that needs to really be explained for the layperson to understand, that there are lesser gods and the deities are expression of God because he is so vague and vast. And sister, I was wondering if you can do me justice by telling the listening audience why Obatala or why Yamanja, Ilede, Olurum are so potent, and what part of the outer court of heaven and inner court of heaven that they rule over. Can you do that for me?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I don't use the same tactics as the secular. I am a part of indigenous tradition. I educate. I do not indoctrinate. So whichever way individuals choose to go in life is their decision. Everyone has their own destiny, but my destiny with Yemaya and my Edwins are to perpetuate knowledge. That's what I do. I do not indoctrinate people on what I think that they should do or what I think that they are. I already know what I am. It is up to the individual in to take that road. But as far as the Orishas are concerned, Orisha are elements. People have to understand that any indigenous tradition, whether it's Lugumi or the Native American tradition, they are all on the same playing field, meaning that they are all nature-based. Yemaya, we have depicted her as a human being, Obatala as a human being, but people have to understand that these are elements of nature. We are reflections of them, they are reflections of us, and they are here to teach us the greater metaphysical, alchemical principles within ourselves and on the outer world. So my perspective, sis, is a little bit different because, I come from an indigenous premise. And that is the problem
perspective. Let me say something. Some of us are not actually trained. We can be born into this. The gentleman you just spoke to, Jamel, is my brother. He and I both and our family grew up as Native Americans. We know our heritage, and the father is first-generation Blackfoot Indian, so we were well endowed with this. We did not attend church when we first grew up as young children. We did not go to regular doctors. We were brought up in a clan of a Native American style, and we knew that we would eventually move away from church because our father having these assets and training me and training him, we were the two chosen one. He was doing readings as a young man and the divinations, all of this without any type of transitioning into initiation at all. I was the one that had to get involved with the traditional training and go through the ministry, get the ministerial license, and then go through and get the initiation. However, we had it in our bloodline all the time. We were told we were seers. And being a Blackfoot Indian, we knew this already, and there was a claim laid on us to be initiated as young children. So we knew this. So we're now operating together as a clan for once. And I know the ancestors had it that we would come together in our elderly life and begin to do some work. We're going to make ourselves available throughout the continent to travel and speak as brothers and sisters team. And he's born, we celebrated our birthdays a day apart. However, his mother is my sister. We were raised together as brothers and sisters. Nevertheless, we're born under the same sign, born a day apart, have been in the same path throughout our lives when it comes to consciousness, and we both have been called to healing. I've worked physically in the hospital. His whole work is on naturopathic medicine and healing. Mrs. Harvey, the one we talked about, the healing has come through him and bringing her back. And I give credit to him, praise be, that he has brought her back through natural holistic herbs. So if we never had any of these trainings, the spirit already worked with us from birth. So we just had to admonish it by getting the rest of this training and sitting under the feet of different people. Some people are called into this, and some people try to force their way into this and try to buy the gifts. We never had to buy them. We never had
well,
to change
Well, you can't even buy them,
this,
though,
you know?
Sis. You can't even
you
buy
find
them,
people
though.
Try to buy. Sometimes they
well,
try
you
to
can
buy
the
initiation.
Yeah, you can buy the initiation, but you can't buy the gifts. I was telling someone this the other day. There are many people who become priests and priestesses, but there are very few who are called. Because regardless of whether you're initiated or not, you know, spirituality is very infinite in nature, and we really try to box things in.
And you said
in a
something that made a lot of sense.
Way.
You said something that made a lot of sense. You don't try to indoctrinate. And I tell people on this show that I never tell them, oh, you got to go and become a minister, or you got to get this license, or you got to come and get this. I tell them the order of service. And if they adhere to that, that's fine. But I'm not about the business of indoctrinating people, because believe me, I spent too many years being indoctrinated and wasting my time in organized, tied to religion. And I had
Indeed.
To go on sabbatical from that. So I would not Indeed. Tell them to even go and get into Ifa. I wouldn't even tell them to do that. I would tell them, if they're going to do anything, seek a life of spirituality and learn their culture. Because your culture is what creates your religion. Your religion comes out of your culture. And that's what we as Africans don't know to tell one another. Once you start studying your culture and your heritage, all other things will be added and developed in your life, because you need to get a very good fix and handle of culture. That's what we're lacking, and that's why when we see Lukumin and we see Hispanic, we see all the other things, we're so gravitated, because it's not Europeanized, and we're trying to get to know ourselves, and we don't know what authentically belongs to us. And if we knew our culture, we'll know it's a replicate, just being reproduced, but it's our stuff. So we got to go and get our stuff and claim it and lay claim to it, because our forefathers in Africa never laid claim to anything. They allowed the Aristotle, Thales, and Homer, and all these people to take credit for reasoning and Greek pathology, and they gave them this, and yet it's our stuff. And we are sitting back looking at somebody regurgitate our stuff as if they're teaching us something brand new. We're the ancient old people. We're the fathers and mothers, and we are the producers of civilization and reasoning. And once we know that, we will stop being so foolish and say, why wouldn't I have known that? I knew that in my psychic, and I felt that. When we use wisdom, we've always known these things as older people. The children of the world are running around acting like the mothers and fathers, and we're mesmerized with the new stuff that they're giving, like new thought. What do you mean new thought? Africans had reasoning and gave the world civilization and socialization long before new thought came on the scene. But yet we're mesmerized by all of this, the tome tree of life. And when we look at this, we say, the Jewish brought this? This is our stuff. What do you mean? There's been so much piracy and stealing and going through the tombs and taking our stuff and representing it to us and calling it another name. And because we're not learned enough to know our stuff, we're sitting there acting like we are now being introduced to something brand new when it was ours in the first place. I'm going to tell the listening audience, go get your stuff. Go get your stuff, because Aristotle went to his grave with it. And he, along with Thales, each one of these people were indicted. They were also brought, charges were brought against them for having a concept and a belief of a new thought that they were telling their Greeks about. And they had to be jailed. They had to be persecuted because they would not come against the fact that the Africans taught them in the Egyptian mystery system. And they had so many of them that went to their graves because they wanted the world to know that this learning came from Africa. And I want the world to know that the Africans need to wake up to their own stuff and claim it, because we're having a difficult time just getting our Africans to believe that we are royalty, that we have the ability to create mathematics, trigonometry, algebra. All of these things in the science and the laws of attraction are our stuff. The secret is our stuff. Now the secret is out. That's our stuff. It was ancient Egyptian mystery system. Read. That's why Omi has this room open, seeking that you will read and find the mystery that's hidden in the book. The stolen legacies are yours, ladies and gentlemen. Pull those books out and find out what was stolen from you. You had a den of thieves. You had a union of thieves in Europe where they were able to become a unionized organization with the right to go and steal anything they want and have the union backing them. This is documented, and this comes out of the book that they printed. Now, Europeans, I'm saying this so that you understand that, yes, I knew that there were union of thieves. I lived in Europe. And they came to me and said, yes, we have a union of thieves. It exists. So piracy, they've stolen it. So what do we do now? Go back and get it and claim it and use it to heal ourselves with. And all we're trying to do in this room is to make priests and priestesses out of you. As you matriculate from the initiate stage, the one who is uninitiate, we pray that you will become initiate and AWOS and go to the level of the priest and go further in your studies. That's all we're asking you to do. I want to thank our listening audience this evening, and thank you so much, sis. And please, let's talk again. Let's get together again and speak on it, okay?
Oh, indeed. We're the same, but we're very different in thought. And, you know, I like listening to you because I come from a very different premise. People that I'm dealing with, you know, have been where you're telling, because there are people who don't know. But I'm past the victimization of what's been stolen. We need to step forward and move on. But I love the way that you speak. I love some of the things that you say.
Let me say this: if you don't know something has been stolen from you, you won't ever go look for it. And listen,
right.
I want you to know something's been stolen from you. However, let me tell you. You don't need to beat up on the white folks to say you took something from me. You need to let them know you're aware of it, because they're still watching you to see if you're asleep, if you're conscious. And when you become conscious, you're dangerous. And at that particular point, they will either make you a foe or a friend. Why not be our friends and let us educate you? I'm a master teacher. I'm an adjunct faculty teacher for universities. So you got an excellent university from the top 10 college here speaking to you. Don't think I would be on this airways wasting my time if I wasn't a master, if I didn't bring in a guest and I brought myself in as an expert. If you check
you
my
work,
history, you see that I lecture all over the place. I'm an international lecturer. So I am about the business of talking about. I'm not beyond the stage of telling you what you're taking from me, and I want my stuff back. And you got to give it back.
I hear you.
And I don't care.
No,
I don't care that you think. I don't care that if these people think, oh, Omi is going to get on here and tell the white people. I'm going to tell the white people because there's white people in my family. My sister-in-law is white, and I tell her every day, you guys have got some of my stuff, and we need it back. Not that you're white, that I would not tell you. I don't care if you were black. You have some of our stuff. You've laid claim on some of our things, and we're hurting now. We need reparation. We need psychological fixes because we have psychological trauma that you have laid laws down that still hurt us, and yet we say we don't want reparation. We do want reparation because the laws that you've laid down are still perpetrating and still endorsing some of the laws that our very men are in the prison for now. If those laws could be changed, the black laws that you used during slavery, we could free a lot of our people. Yes, we want freedom, And we want things done right now. And we don't have to hide it because of shame, because we're now dignified and we don't think we need to talk about racism because it no longer exists. It does exist. It exists. And it exists among our own black people and among the Caucasian. And we've got to address it. And the next segment that we talk about, we're going to talk about how racism has destroyed us as a people and how we are still living with those slave laws, and they still exist, and they have existed into the penal system. So, yes, I'm going to tell it, and I'm going to talk about what was taken, and I know people are saying I'm beyond that. Great. You know, get over it. I'm not beyond that, and some of us are not beyond it. We just cover up because we want to appear to get along with everyone. I'm the best person in the world to be friends with because I invite every white person, every person to this classroom, but you better believe I'm not going to tiptoe around what I have to talk about. I'm going to talk in the airways so that it will free some of the white people that want to get it off their conscience and want to address it. If I never addressed it, then they will think that I'm ignorant and have no knowledge of written material, because we have access to material. And if you're learned and can read, you will find this information. Find
but
it,
that's okay.
And
that's good. That's why, listen, you're very charismatic, and this is why you have listeners. And
well, I'm not charismatic.
You
got me wrong. You got me wrong. You're pegging me now. I'm not charismatic. I'm not a preacher.
You don't think so?
I'm not
you're,
a charismatic person.
I love the way
you
speak,
not,
sis.
Let me
you're
say
passionate.
Something, because I don't want people to think that I'm sitting here trying to be charismatic. I could have been in a church making tons of money being charismatic. I am not being charismatic. I'm being a realist, because we have covered up and we have patronized and we have placated people because we didn't want people to think that we were not literate. We didn't want people to think that we were not integrating everyone. I integrate everybody in this classroom. I said, come white people, come Europeans, come whoever you are, because when we educate you, we make you a better person. But if we cover up and act like you haven't been a part of the problem, then we are part of the problem, because we have got to learn to say, this is what happened in history, now we're suffering for it, and it needs to be changed. It needs to be changed. And I'm saying it because without teaching you this and going on about all these great religions and how we are priestess, it does us no good when psychologically you're hurting Europeans. You need our help probably more so than anything. I could sit here and do a consultation with you and deliver you from things that you've been hurting from for a long time. And that is depression, because depression comes from unfinished business. You have some unfinished business that needs to be dealt with through counselors like me. I can help you. I know why you're in my room. And I'm not dismissing you, because you need the same help that we need. Now, let's talk about it tomorrow, and I'll see you tomorrow at the same time here in this classroom. I love you, and you know, if Omi told you so, let your light shine on the world. Let your light shine on the world, my Omi said. Let your light shine on the world, my Omi said. Let your light shine on the world. Have a great evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I say Baba Booey to y'all, and I'll see you tomorrow, same time. In this room tomorrow, let's be ready for it. It's in the atmosphere, and it's happening in the Care to Read room tomorrow, same time. Oh, double.